Christ. The lection for this morning is taken from St. Paul's first letter to the Thessalonian congregation, the fifth chapter, beginning of verse 1. But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them, as labor pains upon a pregnant woman. And they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Here ends our reading.
O Lord, have mercy upon us.
According to the website known as Date Setters, which tries to track how many Christian organizations and prophets have established dates for the end of the world and Christ's return, they have tallied up 242 dates that have been set by professed Christians through the years. My guess is that's probably half at best. One of the earliest date setters was a gentleman by the name of Montanus, who lived in central Turkey in the 2nd century, 150s, 160s AD. And he claimed that he would receive prophecies from God. And when he would get these prophecies, he would turn into a frenzied man that would run around and yelling and screaming at people. His followers became known as the Illuminati, the Enlightened Ones. And the Illuminati were known that whenever he would get these great prophecies about the end of time, that they would all roll on the ground in spastic seizures. I'm sure that must have been quite a church service. But he began predicting back then specific dates of our Lord's return. I think he was wrong. Christ's second coming, when it comes to that subject, there are really two dangerous ends of the spectrum, you might say, for us as Christians. The first is that, represented by Montanus, what some have called impatient expectancy, where you're so preoccupied with it that it just consumes everything about you. Some have even gone so far as to sell everything they have and to abandon their jobs and their families and sew robes for themselves and go sit on a hill and wait for Jesus to return. But the other end of the spectrum, which is probably the one that's the most dangerous, certainly for myself and I would guess for you too, is what some have called drowsy security. When we can become so uncaring about it and unthoughtful of it and go through life kind of unprepared for it. One of the elements that St. Paul brings up in the text before us this morning, and that's always a part of our Lord's warnings about that final day, is the suddenness of his return. In fact, the Bible frequently uses two great events that we have historically in the Old Testament to look back to learn lessons from. One is the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, and the other is the great deluge or the flood at the time of Noah. And in each of these times and events, I'm sure that the average person in the street was just going about day-to-day life completely unconcerned about the fact that such a great judgment was coming. And our Lord and the apostles point back to these two great events in the Old Testament as little miniature pictures for us to be warned and to be ready about the suddenness of this. The actual day that this comes, as Paul points out again in our text, is going to be a great surprise to the world. Jesus intended to keep the members of his church, his faithful followers, in a constant state of readiness as we go about our day-to-day life and as we live out our vocations. St. Paul says, "For when they say," speaking of the world now, the unbelieving world, "for when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape." So it's going to take place at a time when the unbelieving world really could care less about any of this and thinks that everything is going along just fine in life, and then the suddenness of this day will catch them off guard. Now, our Lord has given us warnings, and he has given us the word of encouragement to be ready. I remember years ago hearing a pastor use an illustration that I thought was an interesting one. He said, imagine a grandfather that has two grandchildren, and he tells them, "I'm going to come by sometime after lunch tomorrow and pick you up and take you to the zoo." Do you think those children would be more ready for him at 1 o'clock in the afternoon or at 4 o'clock? Probably more at 1 o'clock. The further away you get from those words, the more difficult it is to stay ready. And that's one of the great challenges for our generation. The longer a time that there has been between Christ giving his church these words and the fact that we haven't seen it happen for so long just lulls us into a greater level of unpreparedness. On top of that, we have the world saying to us, "You silly Christians, you're spending all your time concerned about this Jesus and repentance and having faith in him and him coming back and so on. There's no evidence of that. And you're missing out on all the fun. Think of all the great things you could be doing with your life right now. Why are you so concerned about this?" And that resonates with us. That resonates in my heart. And probably the younger you are in life, the more it resonates. The more you look ahead in your life and you think, "I've got a lot of time ahead of me. I got a lot of great things I got to get done here in my life. There's so many things I need to do." Well, be careful. Because the voices of the world that resonate with our sinful flesh are the very things that St. Paul is warning about, putting us in a state of darkness. Our Lord Jesus wants us to go through life, going about our day-to-day lives and the duties of our lives, but with a proper biblical judgment day mentality. He doesn't want something of such great value that he has prepared for us to be lost. He doesn't want it to fall upon you in a way that you're caught unprepared. If anybody knows how fantastic and amazing the home of heaven is, it's our Lord Jesus, the Son of God, who came down here to work out our redemption. If anybody knows the great cost that it took to purchase it for you and me through his blood shed on the cross, atoning for every one of our sins, it's our Lord Jesus. And he's the one who knows all of this better than any of us, who urges us and speaks to our hearts and says, "Stay ready. Always stay ready." And for the unbeliever, that will be a day of great sorrow and destruction. But for the believer, a day of redemption, the Bible calls it. Martin Luther used to use the illustration of a man who was held prisoner in a castle. And then he could hear his fellow soldiers storming that castle. And even though it creates anxiety in his heart to think about this scene that's taking place, his heart is still filled with anticipation and joy, waiting for himself to be released. May we, with the whole church throughout time, continue to pray that simple prayer, "Come, Lord Jesus, quickly come." Amen. Please rise for the Te Deum Laudamus.
safely brought us to the beginning of this day. Defend us in the same with your mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doing, being ordered by your governance, may be righteous in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever.